All right, so our topic for today, I want to propose a bold social engineering theory.
Okay, I'm nervous so far, but go on.
Yeah, all right, because, you know, we're, as philosophers, we tend to really offer milquetoast things that just simply be, I'm going to change a definition ever so slightly in a pedantic way.
Yeah.
All right, let's go, Paul. Humans should be bred in birthing pods. So if you've ever watched Dragon Ball Z, all Saiyans are born in like these pods and they're put there and they grow until they're baby-sized and then they're flushed out into the world. There's still parents. So the parents still, there's a male and a female that offers genetic material and they've come there to put them in a pod and they grow to a proper size and they're let out into the world, to, or sometimes to conquer planets as well.
Okay, I have various questions from, you know, medical, philosophical, ethical, and other miscellaneous. But I guess I want to hear your reasoning for this. Why should we all be born in pods and not how we do it now?
All right, so I want to offer two overarching themes on this. The first is the health outcomes, and the second is the social outcomes. So in terms of health outcomes, we have better health outcomes for pregnant women. Because we don't have as many pregnant women, we will not have as many obstetric concerns. We won't have as many gynecological concerns where women are in a lot more distress than men because they don't have to go through this on the whole. Now, we've also got better health outcomes for babies because they're all being monitored in these fields and fields of birthing pods by doctors and staff, rather than having to have each individual woman take care of a baby. Everyone can, you know, smoke now because they don't have to worry about the health outcomes for their babies. So fetal alcohol syndrome disappears, prenatal lice or emphysema or whatever it is, they all go because they're all...
Did you say prenatal lice?
Yeah, right? It's lice you get in the womb.
Go on.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
Okay. We've got those major health outcomes improving for women and for babies. Now, social outcomes, these are the things that I'm really interested in. Okay, so for starters, let's talk about how women no longer have to choose between being a mother and being a career person. Now, there is no doubt that that trend is changing and that women have more choices now than ever, but it's still a problem and it is a major physical toll on women. So we will actually achieve a much greater social equality by disentangling women from the birthing process. Paid leave and maternity leave will be a much easier thing to sort out because everyone now has a stake in it, men and women both. So we won't have to fight so much for things like paternity leave.
Oh, I have so many things to say on that, but please keep going.
Yep. I'm going to give you the whole spiel and then you can go for it. Now, I want to go for one that I think is really important. And I think our Christian friends and brethren will enjoy this one, which is that we will have less abortions. We will have a ton less abortions because every person who ever wants to have a baby chooses to have one and doesn't have one accidentally. You want a baby? Sure. You take the person who is giving the sperm, the person that is giving the egg, you mush them together and you have your birthing pod. And now everyone deliberately has a child. Instead of having to deal with an unintended consequence of potentially teenage sex or things like that. So we're going to have a drop in teenage pregnancy rates and no more unwanted kids. Every single child there will be one that is there because they are wanted. And that's my major reasons.
Okay. Okay, so I don't know where to really begin here, but I feel like this is a battle for humanity's soul. And I'm going to avoid, really, really try and avoid couching you as some sort of Darth Vader-like creature. because that would be a fallacy. I'm not going to shade you as some sort of malicious entity hell-bent on destroying our civilization and turning us all into weird pod people. I won't do that because that would be a bad argument.
Well, you know what? I really appreciate that because I really think I'm doing some good here for humanity.
Okay, that you're scaring me. Okay, so a couple of things off the bat. Straight away, initially, I've couple of health things that have arisen that you said that we've got no health problems with you know, no gynecological health problems as a result of pregnancies. Like, technically, this is true. It would also be true if we never stood up, then we would see a drastic decrease in broken legs. But that would not be a good idea to say to everyone, hey, just don't stand up. Now, as far as analogies go, I think that one's okay. We could strengthen it a little better and maybe tweak it a bit. But I think the idea that, oh, well, if we remove the situation, then there'll be no longer problems that are associated with just that situation is kind of problematic when that is, something that we might want to keep, although we would probably have to look at that point as well. In terms of no or low health problems for babies, I'm assuming, and I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, and assuming that your technology is like Gene Roddenberry perfect instead of George Lucas perfect. In the Star Wars universe, the hyperdrive often breaks. Chewie's screaming at the controls. They have to rewire. Everything's old and broken down. In the Star Trek universe, everything works as intended until some weird freak scientific anomaly takes over the ship and starts, converting everything to mushrooms. So I'm assuming that the technology works perfectly well.
Yeah. We're good. I think it's fair to assume that we worked out the kinks in the pods and so that they are safe to use.
Okay. That's ominous. But I'm gonna give you the benefit of the doubt there. I would also say, though, if we spent the time, let's say time, energy, and resources in perfecting pod technology, we could probably get to a similar level of mortality rates with natural birth if we poured those resources into our healthcare system. You know, in the last 100 years, 150 years, the infant mortality rate has dropped some ridiculous amount. I would have to do some research on it. Anecdotally, I want to say something like 80%. So has the woman's death rate during pregnancy dropped something ridiculous like 80 or 90%, maybe more, in the last 150 years because of medical research. I would think time, resources, money, and energy poured into making pods, if we just put it into a medical situation, we would be able to get the same health outcomes in terms of birth.
Now, I think that is a really excellent argument. I think that you make a really good point about investing those resources there and getting a different place. But I think there is a really important factor here that you're overlooking, which is the human factor, that each person has different medical needs, will have different medical history. And that means that even if we do, we will have a completely consistent experience with pods when we won't have that consistency with women in general or people who can give birth. So we're going to definitely improve the outcomes both ways, but we're going to have a far more consistent outcome with the pods.
I mean, see, this is where I draw this conceptual line a little bit. Even in our most advanced level of technology, consistency is not something that I would label as one of our strong points necessarily. If you look at our most advanced technological things, we deal with inconsistency all the time, from phones and laptops to cars to rocket ships and all our other wonderful technological marvels. We have inbuilt kind of inconsistency going on. So I don't know. This isn't an argument against pods necessarily. It's just to say we've got a system of baby making as it is. Why build a toaster out of spare parts when there's a toaster sitting on the bench? Not to call all women toasters. Okay, so this is leading to my next really big problem here, the social issues. And I just want to flag it really straight away that I know we're doing audio only, but we are two bearded white men talking about women's business, which is problematic to begin with. Straight up, very problematic. But to kind of play around with this a little bit, I think that again, we've got an argument. This argument that you said, you know, the choice for a woman to either have a baby or a career is removed when the pod machine has the baby. It's not so much like, you know, being pregnant, it takes a long time, 9 months, and it is very inconvenient. It's not so much, though, that period. It's more the 18 to 25 years after birth that takes up a lot of the, like, have a baby or have a career kind of decisions. So I actually don't think that your pod solves any of those social problems. Barring abortion, we'll talk about abortion in a sec, but the business of rearing children, very, very different from the business of popping them out. And I think any discussion that we have of, oh, should we have a baby or a career, it wouldn't matter if it was being delivered by a pod or a stork or some weird magician, or popping out 9 months after a really lovely evening. It amounts to the same amount of work. And on that as well, this idea that it is the woman's problem and not just and not the couple's problem is a deep-seated social issue that we have that, again, pods wouldn't solve. It brings me to abortion, finally. And I think on this case, it's entirely possible that you might be correct, that yes, what we would see is we would see a drastic decrease in unwanted pregnancies. And I would, you know, speculate that we would see a drastic decrease in pregnancies generally, given our social climate and financial climate and just the way we're going. We have less of an impetus for us all to pair off and have 10 kids. Some people are deciding not to have any kids. And so I think we would see a decrease in having children just generally, which is not a bad thing, I don't think. I think in that case, this is where the pods might be, I don't know, okay. But I would revert back again to our resources issue from a purely, you know, financial and energy conservation argument. We've got a thing that makes the babies already. If we're going to dump a bunch of resources into something that just replaces that bit, then we're not really solving any of our larger issues. We're not solving the social issues that lead to unwanted pregnancies. We're not solving the issues that lead to only 50% of the population having to decide between having a family and a career. We're not solving any of the social issues actually at all. What we're doing is we're putting a nice little sci-fi twist on what should be, I don't want to fall into a naturalistic argument.
Well, look, I want to rebut that claim that we're not solving the issue, because, like, just talking about Star Trek for a second, one of the big conceits of Star Trek is how technology does solve social issues. And I think this is one of those cases, because you've got these pods where humans choose to have babies. And so now you have removed this absolute social impetus that still comes from society that women need to do it all. And as a result, we've actually reduced the social footprint on women's faces. So it doesn't necessarily solve it completely, but it does definitely, you know, remove some of that burden, at least a bit, because now we've got, more non-traditional families. So we've got LGBTQI groups who can all have these families in different non-traditional ways. And that lessens the burden even further, because everyone now has more options for reproduction.
For sure. I think I'm going to whip out another analogy, and I hope it works. This one's more of a serious one. It's not toasters. I think we've seen something similar, or a similar idea has come along in discussions on race before. There was a push, I don't know, maybe the 80s or 90s at some point, where the solution to all our race problems was to not see race. A race doesn't exist. It's not a thing. Everyone's the same.
Yeah, I remember that in the 90s. It didn't do well for us.
We remove the problem entirely. Not everyone's the same. There is no such thing as race. Yeah. And that doesn't actually solve the problem. Like, it ignores the problem. I think potentially without actually dealing with the social issues, I think this is doing something similar. I do have a side question. It's a technological one.
Yeah.
And you might, I don't know whether this is unfair or not, but if we're going to go some far-flung future where we have pods at work, does that mean that we're all sterilized, or does that mean we have to abstain from sex?
All right. So I did think about this, and the neatest way that I found to solve this problem is that boys have...
Wee-wees. Yes, I know.
Have vasectomies? Or what's it called? Go on the pill. So the male contraceptive pill when it's fully developed. So in this society, we've got this thing, and men are on this thing. Culturally, at the moment, still men are still going to be way more horny, and they're going to want it way more. And so if
you're going to get so much hate mail for that one, I don't know.
Look, anyone listening finds out that women are just as horny or even more horny, than I will absolutely retract the claim. But in the meantime, let's just go with the male contraceptive pill. And you know, the from the point where puberty starts, the doctor on the pill, regular thing. Everything else, there's no, absolutely no requirement that people are sterilized. There's absolutely no requirement that people get government permission to have a baby. They can, you know, you could have to, like, I suppose that I should say that only adults can apply to have a baby. You know, 18 years old, you go and you can go with your current girlfriend if you want, but every single person who goes out there to the pod clinic has to be 18 years old, and there has to be two of you or more.
Okay.
So no gender, doesn't matter what your sexuality is, but there has to be two of you there.
Or more. I think that's fair, you know. Yeah. Get five people together, get themselves a kid, have a little commune. I don't see anything wrong with that.
Supposedly you could probably go there with more than one. You know, you could be like, okay, we've got six people here, so we want to have three kids, something like that. I imagine you could do a mathematical formula like 2x minus 1 to determine the number of kids you can have.
But you said before we have to supply our own genetic material.
Yeah.
So you are still creating a being that's effectively, you know, from your lineage, if that's a thing that you care about. I'm seeing holes where, the quickest, easiest, and nastiest hole is this going to be a first world thing, and third worlders are going to be relegated to doing the dirty, nasty, having babies the old-fashioned way. In which case we'll see a large divide, Gattaca style, between the rich and the poor, because we will see then the huddled masses of the poor who are unable to, get this contraceptive pill or won't have access to pod facilities. And so we'll be breeding and we labeled as breeders. And then we'll have some sort of futuristic sci-fi game where we go out and hunt breeders because they pop up everywhere. These are, maybe semi-serious issues.
I mean, I don't think that they are, because there are all sorts of issues that we have at the moment that we don't say we shouldn't do that because it's still happening in somewhere else across the world. If we do have a world government, but there's still these massive pockets of lack and loss and oppression, then that is definitely an issue for the world government. But, you know, here in Australia, we don't say don't give to your given charity because it's not solving a much bigger problem across the world. I think it's reasonable for us. I think it's reasonable to expect everyone to be charitable in general. But I don't think it's reasonable for us to be able to care for millions of people that we can't see as an abstraction. I think
I agree. I think my argument was kind of hyperbolic and, you know, unfair to the cause. What about now? I in thinking about this topic, I'm very apprehensive about falling into some sort of naturalistic argument, because I don't think going, but the natural way of doing things is better, is a terribly good argument. I don't want to cross that line, but I do want to highlight certain I don't know, biological urges that I believe are built into at least some of us, maybe culturally, maybe not, I don't know. It'd be interesting to find out if we could, about having a baby. Now, where this is coming from is when my wife was having a baby, when we were having a baby, and we, you know, you end up talking to a lot of other pregnant people. For some reason, you gravitate toward, I think it's, you know, anyway, there is a growing, and you also go online and talk about lots of stuff. There's a whole thing about natural birth versus C-section versus Caesars. And today, you know, modern day Caesars are pretty common. Like much, much more common than, you know, 30, 40 years ago when they were still being done, but they were less common. But there is still a holdover where there is some sort of stigma attached to the Caesar, whereby there's something magically better about the natural birth. And there are certain health benefits to, I guess, explicit warning being pushed through a birthing canal. There's certain things about the esophagus and the lungs being, I'm not a medical guy, but there are certain advantages to doing it. It's very, very minor. You don't see too much problems with a C-section, but there is an impulse to try and have what's called a natural birth above anything. And that seems pretty prevalent. Is there something in that, do you think, that isn't just an appeal to a naturalistic fallacy?
I think that you raise an interesting point, and it was a source of apprehension for me in making this argument in the first place. So I was like a little nervous because I feel like there is a broader question that you're addressing there beyond that. And I don't think it is a naturalistic fallacy to say that humans are born in a certain way. And if we fundamentally change the way that they're born, then that we may fundamentally change the way that we are. You know, we may end up having birthing pods where all of them are psychopaths because they never heard a heartbeat. You know,
we could simulate a heart, though. I put a clock in a cloth from our puppy when we first got him. They didn't turn into sociopaths. It's fine.
Yeah, but there are all sorts of other things. You know, there is the sound of the voice, and I don't know. You could play Motley Crue to the entire field of younglings, and
yes. Or in my case, I'm slowly being swayed by the idea of having a field of youngling pods out there where we, you know, play various music to them. I don't think it's necessarily, I don't know. I struggle to see, like, the changing fundamentally how we are as humans is certainly a thing, but I don't think it's necessarily a good or a bad thing. It just is an is thing.
Yeah.
And if part of our evolution is merging with technology, then this is surely the first stage in that. If not the failed Google Glasses or the Apple Watch or you know, all the various things that we attach to our body, and yet we really don't want to call ourselves androids yet, which I for one am against. I think we should be calling ourselves androids right now. Cyborgs. Yeah. Part human, part machine. I don't know.
I'm already wearing glasses, so I am already an android, right?
That's true. Yeah,
technology enhancing my body.
Yeah, that's it. Look, I think this is where I fall on this, is that I can't see a really good reason to be against pods birthing our kids. I also can't really see a good reason to do it, aside from a couple of the social issues that if we had just addressed those issues socially, maybe they wouldn't be an issue anyway. I think that's kind of where I'm currently sitting.
All right. You know what? You make a good case because you have poked a few holes in it, and like there isn't like a terribly good reason with the technology as it currently is. So maybe maybe the compromise position here is that we develop this technology for either the pods or for surrogacy to deal with women who would have abortions and just transplant them into the pods. And that way everyone's happy.
You're standing on about three trip mines with that sentence, and I'm not gonna address it all.
You know what? No, I like my birthing pods view better.
Look, you know what? The one argument that you didn't make that I thought you might have swayed me was give me superpowers because of the pods. The pods give me an extra two arms. The pods give me psionic abilities. The pods make my skin change like a chameleon. I'm there. It's fine.
Now we're going to have to go into the naturalistic fallacy because that's unnatural and we're going to fundamentally change humanity that way.
So are pants. And yet no one is against pants. Pants are universally accepted.
So psionics and pants are both on the same level of distorting humanity.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that this particular view of the webcam of you is just shoulders and up.
I feel like don't want to know what's down there, man. It's wild. It's all sci-fi and rings and fins and stuff.
Fins?
Science fins.
Yeah.
You know? For wind resistance. Yeah. For lowering wind resistance.
All right. So it's not a perfect plan, but you know what? I think we should develop pod technology still.
Okay, look, yeah. If some crazy billionaire decided that was their pet project, I wouldn't stand in the way. I'd see what they could come up with.
It would just give us more reproductive options at the very least.
Yeah, I suppose. And I also agree there was a little side argument that you slipped in there about the male reproductive pill against the women pill. I think that's a fantastic idea. I think someone once said it makes a lot more sense to unload a gun than to build a bulletproof vest. So this is a larger social issue that the reason why we don't have male pill is because of that.
There's our metaphor analogy of the day.
Yeah. the interesting areas I think that come up out of this are the social issues. You know, the social issues of who gets to or who is lumped with the majority of baby having and baby rearing kind of jobs. What do we do in cases of unwanted pregnancies and abortions and all those nasty little areas? But I we don't need crazy sci-fi technology to necessarily solve these problems. We simply need to address the social issues and accept that, female health issues are a universal right, and we need to, it's okay to be a dad and look after a 6-month-old, even though people in the park look at you weirdly. We can move on without having some sort of sci-fi pod thing.
I don't disagree with anything you've said, but as a devout Trekkie who's about to get a tattoo of Trek things on me, like technology can solve a lot of our problems if we want it to. And we just need to believe hard enough in Captain Picard.
Look, I will never be against Captain Picard, but as a standard position, I think he is always correct. And if Captain Picard appeared today and told me to do anything, I would probably do it. I think the idea that technology always solves our problems is a fallacy. I think I absolutely love technology and I want us to become more technologically advanced and competent. But if we're only advancing technology and not ethics and social understanding as well alongside it, then we're Borg-like and not, Picard-like.
Look, I think we should have some faith and believe in science and then go buy some NFTs.
Now that's a whole nother, I've actually been reading about this. This should be another topic. I think we should look into crypto and NFTs and see if we can't wrangle our own. We could do a podcast NFT and make billions. I don't know.
Bill coins. Yeah.
All right.